Do you fumble your keys or forget your password? Well, Emil Grafstra thinks he can help. The double RFID implantee and self-described DIY biohacker runs a business that he calls Dangerous Things. Confused? Let's start at the beginning. What's an RFID and why would you want to implant it?
Sure. So RFID is an acronym that stands for Radio Frequency Identification, and it's as old as World War II.
So why would a person want that?
Well, it's evolved since then, and so now we use RFID commonly for pets. So we'll put a chip in a pet. That pet has to be brought to the vet to be scanned to identify it. So it has a number, and with that number is associated the owner.
You were wondering if couldn't I come up with a better idea than the key?
I just thought, you know, it's you know, at the time it was 2005. There's got to be a better way to do this, and a better way than carrying on a huge keychain of keys on them. So I wanted a system to be able to recognize that it was just me. So
I've seen pictures of it. It looks like a cold capsule, like a short oblong capsule-like thing.
And
you
people...
put it between your thumb and your and the web between your thumb and your forefinger.
Mm-hmm.
And you were showing me a little bit earlier. It doesn't look there very apparent, but if you kind of turn your hand in a certain way, there's a little bump there between your thumb and your forefinger, and in there is this RFID thing. So what can you do with it?
So this I use all the time for access control. So every day I get home from wherever I'm going, work or whatever, and I'll drive the car into the back, pop out, and just, when I want to get in the door, I just put my hand up to it and it opens. That's the thing I use it for the most. The other thing I can use it for, I can start my motorcycle, I can get into the car, log into the computer, open a fire safe.
So instead of a login, typing a login, you just wave your hand by the computer and that logs you in?
Yeah, I put a reader in the actual keyboard, so I put my hand on the keyboard, it unlocks.
How did you get the little RFID capsule implanted into that web between your thumb and your forefinger? So you're working with physicians and maybe you thought they would help you implant this?
Yeah, so I had one that was a cosmetic surgeon, and I said, well, that makes perfect sense. They put all kinds of crazy things into bodies. So I talked to her and I said, here's the thing I want to do, and it's similar to the pet tags, and let's talk about putting it in. So we just quickly, I said, I want to get it right here in the webbing, and there's no radial medial nerves go around that area. There's really nothing in this space, but it provides a good cushion for this tag. So she agreed, and it was a scalpel cut and 30 seconds to get it in there and close it up. So
I'm talking to Emil Grafstra, and he's a technologist. He has two RFIDs implanted into his hands. He likes the idea of biohacking, making our lives simpler, and he runs a business called Dangerous Things. So why did you call it Dangerous Things?
Well, it's really a play on people's misconception about the technology. In 2005, I did this, and I called manufacturers, made sure that the glass that I had on the tag was biocompatible and all this, and I didn't really think too much of it. A friend of mine saw me using it, took pictures, and went out on blogs, and it kind of exploded. And I thought it was going to die down, like it's not going to be a big deal. But it continued to be a thing that I get emails about. And one of the things that I was noticing was people were just seeing things on YouTube or seeing the story and then going out and just doing it themselves.
Buying the RFID things themselves.
Yeah, and buying RFID tags from industrial providers with glasses. They don't know if it's safe or not. And just putting it in any old place in the body. And I thought, this is not good. It's going to lead to a problem. And so I decided after a long time of my wife suggesting it, I finally got around to starting a business.
You had experience with a medical professional, but I understand since then you found medical professionals are not that willing to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I had a special relationship with these physicians. So, they trusted that I knew what I was doing and that I did the proper research. And So, in starting Dangerous Things, the goal was to make it safer for people that wanted to do this. And so we did two things. One, we made sure to source safe materials, and we just finished a crowdsourcing campaign to make kind of the world's first implantable NFC tag made with, all safe materials. And we're starting a partner network with piercers. So professional piercing people who are familiar with needles and putting things in bodies. Training them is very simple. It's a very simple procedure.
So your idea with Dangerous Things, that there's an understood hyphen in between it, dangerous not things, if done correctly?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it was really, people kind of freaked out about the technology and they considered it dangerous. And so I said, well, okay, if we're going to have that connotation, why don't we just call it Dangerous Things?
Well, you've been doing this now for almost 10 years, almost a decade. How have you seen it being accepted or not being accepted over that time span?
I think with anything, young people are more apt to look at it and go, hey, cool, you know, and older people are like, oh, it's the devil's work.
Now, I understand some people feel very threatened by this idea that you're putting forward. What kind of reactions have you gotten from them?
Well, everything from, you know, kind of just emails, you know, nasty emails, but all the way up to death threats. You know, people feel very strongly that, you know, this technology is, you know, pure evil and that I'm the devil's mouthpiece. So, you know, the reaction is, you know, again, I try to engage politely in conversation about, you know what the technology is capable of, but what it's not capable of. And a lot of people just don't understand, you know, with movies. You know, every movie you see where there's a chip in somebody, they're sending a missile to them or tracking them, you know, yeah. Their whereabouts. And it just doesn't work that way. That's Hollywood. A lot of people think that there's some kind of GPS involved or, you know, can the idea of tracking is like a real time. I can find or locate you at any time, any place. And I just have to point to PET implants and say that's not how they work. And ours don't work any differently. So the maximum range is 2 inches.
Yeah.
So if you're within two inches of me, you'd know where I am.
So I got to ask you, Emil, has this been so successful that you've been able to quit your day job working in doctor's offices to pursue dangerous things full time?
Well, not really. It's a very niche market, you know. There's limited interest in implantables, but I think its interest is growing. And I've never been one for much of a day job, so I always oscillate between working for the man and working for myself.